The 10th stanza in the first Panchen Lama's poem is, "May we generate strong mindfulness and introspection when the wind constituent begins to dissolve into consciousness and the external continuum of breath ceases, coarse dualistic appearances dissolve, and an appearance like a burning butter lamp dawns." Consciousness is defined as that which is luminous and knowing. It is luminous in the double sense that its nature is clear and that it illuminates or reveals like a lamp that dispels darkness so that objects may be seen. Consciousness also knows objects in the sense that it at least apprehends them, even when it does not know them properly. Consciousness is composed of moments instead of cells, atoms, or particles. In this way, consciousness and matter have basically different natures, and therefore they have different substantial causes. Material things have other material things as their substantial causes, because there must be an agreement in basic nature between substantial cause and substantial effect. Clay, for example, is the substantial cause of a clay pot. The substantial cause of a mind must itself be something that is luminous and knowing. It has to be a previous moment of mind. Any moment of consciousness, therefore, requires a preceding moment of consciousness for its substantial cause, which means that there must be a beginningless continuum of mind. This is how a beginningless round of rebirth is established through reasoning. In addition, if there is one accurate memory of rebirth, that is a sufficient indication. Not everyone has to remember. The absence of former and future lives has never been directly perceived, whereas there are attested cases of clear memory of former lives. Despite the fact that the body depends on conditions for its increase and decrease, the body is endowed with life. And when that life force ceases, it quickly rots and becomes a corpse. No matter how beautiful or handsome it has been, it turns into a corpse. If you analyze this life force that keeps the body from rotting, you will see that it is the mind. The fact that flesh is conjoined with consciousness keeps it from decomposing. The continuum of this mind is what proceeds to the next lifetime. The difference in nature between mind and matter requires that their substantial causes be different. But this does not mean that mind and matter do not interact, for they do so in many ways. Matter can be a cooperative condition of mind, such as when the subtle matter inside the orb of the eye acts as a cooperative condition of visual consciousness, or when a color or shape acts as a cooperative condition of visual consciousness, or when your own body acts as a support or base of consciousness itself. Similarly, consciousness shapes matter since it is our actions or karmas motivated by consciousness that structure the environment. The pooled influence of the karmas of many beings shape the very world system we inhabit. Also, according to highest yoga tantra, consciousness rides on wind that is physical, though in its subtlest forms, wind is not composed of particles. Because of this close association between mind and wind, such that they are one undifferentiable entity, an enlightened being can manifest a body with subtle wind as its substantial cause, a body beyond physical particles, as is the case with a Buddha's complete enjoyment body in a Pure Land.